thing about it, even if you're not currently there, and what I'll be speaking on today is speaking yourself into existence. Amen? Even though your situation may not be ideal, you may not be in the position that you want to be right now, but you can say with your mouth, I'm living in the overflow. You can speak those things as if they were, though they're not currently. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to get too excited and jump too far ahead, but that's exactly what I'll be talking about this morning. Amen? Our mouths. Uh-oh. Somebody said uh-oh. Starting off 2017, you know, as many of us do, you want to set goals. You want to have your New Year's resolution. And I asked God, you know, what do you want me to work on this year? And he gave me three M's. He said, my money, because we were just coming off of a pastor's teaching with our money, giving more, saving more, being good stewards over our money. He said, my motives. Why are you doing things, Bill? Do you have the right motives? And last but not least, he said, your mouth. So today I'm going to share to you what God has instilled in me over this first half of 2017. I know he'll give me much more, but my mouth. So the title of today's message will be, Watch Your Mouth. Amen? Yes. Let's go to Proverbs 18, 20, 21.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It says, people will be rewarded by what they say. They will be rewarded by how they speak. What you say can mean life or death. Those who speak with care will be rewarded. Amen? Before you take your seat, tell someone, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you better watch your mouth. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, so you better watch your mouth. I was looking at some research on statistics on speech. Listen to these numbers. They're kind of mind-boggling. Each day, the average person will open their mouth to speak over 700 times. In those 700 times, they will use 18,000 words. This is the average person. So someone like me who likes to talk, I'm probably in the 20,000. I got any 20,000 words per day, people? Amen. That equates to 126,000 words in a week. Over 500,000 words in a month. Listen to this. 6.5 million words in a year. That is enough to fill 66 800-page novels each year. That's how many words we are using. So you can see why the Bible tells us it's serious about your mouth. If you're going to speak 6.5 million words a year, you better be cognizant about what is coming out of your mouth. Amen? So that's why the Bible will tell us life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen? If we go back to the creation story, the heavens, the earth, everything in it was created by what? The spoken word of God. God said, let there be light. And what? There was light. God said, let there be animals to fulfill the earth, birds and things that will walk upon the land. And there were animals. He said, let there be man. Let's make him in the image and likeness of God. And there was man. Everything God does, he creates it with a word. We know that the Bible, that Jesus is what? He is the word of God. He is the living word amongst us. Amen? So we can see that God doesn't just say this in the Bible. He lives it out. Just as he does everything. Amen? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen? So that's why we have to be cognizant of every word that comes out of our mouth. The names that we call one another. As I was preparing this, I thought about how many times many of us have nicknames, right? And what I thought about is how in the Bible, when individuals became saved and they became closer to God, God would do what? He would change their names. And I said, many a times what a lot of us do, we struggle with things in our past because we still continue to let people call us by those nicknames of the world. Like our name may be Michael, a beautiful name, the archangel. But what? We'll go by the name Killer. Right? We have these nicknames that was put upon us when we were in the world, and we wonder why we have thoughts of suicide. We wonder why we have thoughts of murder and all these other things, because people are calling us names that speak into a destiny that we do not desire. A woman with a beautiful name, let's say Mary, may have a name, Boo, or Delicious, or some type of crazy mess. Amen? And continue to allow people to call those things. And this may be a word for somebody. If you have a nickname that doesn't speak of your destiny, people, every time they're calling you that name, they're speaking life to that thing. If they're calling you killer, they're speaking life into you being a killer. Or whatever other name or nicknames that people may be calling you. Amen? Also, I thought about how we address our children and our loved ones. Amen? Parents, and I know my kids are young. You may say, Bill, you don't understand. When they get teenagers, it's a different world. But we got to stop calling our children different names. Speaking to their life. We're not calling our children stupid. Amen? We're not calling our children not for good or you're crazy or different things like that. You are speaking life or death into your children and your loved ones. Amen? Amen. There are many other scriptures that are in the Bible that talk about watching what you say. I'm going to go through these kind of quick. Proverbs 21:23 says, those who are careful about what they say keep themselves out of trouble. Amen? Proverbs 15:4 says, kind words heal and help, but cutting words wound and maim. Psalms 34:12-13 says, you must do these things to enjoy life and have many happy days. You must not say evil things, and you must not tell lies. Amen? That's powerful. You must not say evil things. As Pastor says, it's not okay for us to cuss. Amen? It got kind of quiet there. It's not okay to cuss. I remember I was talking to one person. They were like, well, how do you know cussing is bad? These are man-made words. I said, and I thought about that for a second, and it goes back to the scripture, life and death. We think about the word D-A-M-N. You're speaking damnation to the soul of those that you're speaking to. Cuss words come from what? Curse words. You are placing a curse every time you speak those words out of your mouth. But I'm here to tell you today, life and death are in your tongue. Amen? Matthew 15:11 said, Jesus said, it's not that goes into a man that defiles him, but what? It's but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Last but not least, Proverbs 15:1-2 says, a gentle answer will calm a person's anger, but an unkind answer will cause more anger. Wise people use knowledge when they speak, but fools just pour out more foolishness. Amen? Amen. Anger. People coming at you with anger, you can actually soothe that anger by just giving them a wise word. Amen? Speaking life back to them. When people speak death to you, you can speak life back to them and change the situation. Amen. So to go into that, we're going to learn how to control our mouths. Amen? That's our goal for today, to be better stewards of our words. I want to talk to you today about three levels of communication, and we're going to see how we kind of progress through these. And now these are three levels in the physical, but I think they match our spiritual lives also. Level one is unfiltered communication. Amen? Unfiltered communication. Communication at this level is unfiltered, and people say whatever comes to mind. Sometimes they say good things. Sometimes they say bad things. Amen? Like a gun in the hands of an untrained man, this is extremely dangerous. And people can get hurt and will get hurt. I think about this level as my children. My children are still young, 5 and 7. And right now, their speech, their communication is pretty much unfiltered. They'll say some good things. They'll say some bad things. They'll say things at inopportune times. They'll say inappropriate things. But they just don't know. And I think about that as new believers. That's how we kind of come in, right? And if those who may not be believers at all, we just kind of say, hey, I'm going to keep it real. Whatever comes to mind, we just kind of say it. And it's like it said there, it's like a gun in the hands of an untrained man. It's just shooting out bullets. Wherever they land, they land. Some people, and many people, are getting hurt. And the thing about it is, the old saying says what? Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That is a lie. And as my mother would say, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Because words do hurt. And careless words hurt. You're just spewing out all this garbage out of our mouths, people get hurt. And what's the thing we say? We just say we're sorry and think that's going to heal things. Amen? So this level one is unfiltered communication. All right? In Proverbs 12:18, it says, careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring healing. Careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring healing. A little while back, I was at a funeral, and a minister was up ministering to the people, and it was kind of a tragic funeral because it was a younger person who had unexpectedly passed. And of course, the pastor who was giving a eulogy wanted to say something to the congregation to help them heal, to encourage them. But I, in being there, and this was a great man of God, but I just think it was a moment of carelessness with their words. He was given the eulogy, and he was doing a comparison of the life of Jesus versus the life of this individual who had died, you know, in their middle 20s. And something he said was, just as this individual who had died too soon, Jesus died too soon. And exactly, my. And right away, my spirit was grieved because I'm thinking, like, this is such a careless word to speak over, and especially when it's a young person who dies, you have many unbelievers who are in there, and this is an opportunity, while you have their attention captivated, for you to speak life into them. And to say that Jesus died too soon is a smack in the face in everything that the Bible preaches. The Word of God says that, what? God is in complete control. He knows all dates. He knows all times. And Jesus said right out of his mouth, he said, no man taketh my life. He said, but I lay down my life. So to speak that word over the gong, it was just a careless word. And it, how many people could be damaged by thinking that our God, the God of heaven, the God of this universe, could make a mistake. Amen? So like it says in Proverbs, careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring what? Healing. We don't want to speak careless words. We don't want to function at level one communication, unfiltered communication. Amen? Amen. And at that level, it's not just good enough, as I said before, to say something and just say, I'm sorry. It'll be okay. Amen? There's a law called involuntary manslaughter, right? Involuntary manslaughter is when you basically accidentally kill somebody, but you still go to jail for that, right? And it's the same thing with our words. You can't just, you know, be uncontrolled and unfiltered with your speech and think that just saying sorry heals it. There's consequences to be reaped on those unfiltered words, amen? So we don't want to function at level one. Level two is reserved communication, amen? So you get at level one, we should be moving up to level two. Communication at this level is scarce and extremely conservative. Words are far and few in between. Proverbs 17:28 says, even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent with their mouths shut. They seem intelligent. Proverbs 10:19 says, if you talk a lot, you are sure to sin. If you are wise, you will keep quiet. Amen? So we graduate from that unfiltered level one communication, and we move on to what is called conserved or even a filtered communication. Amen? But the thing about this is we can't remain there. Now, this is better than level one because you are choosing, you're a lot more quiet and you're choosing your words carefully, but God never intended us to stay there, because what happens is you hold your tongue and you're not speaking that much. And you know, some Christians, when you ask them, you know, how they're doing, their only words are blessed and highly favored. Now, they may have the understanding that, you know, they want to conserve their words, but are they speaking life? Because if you're not speaking at all, it's just as damaging as speaking damaging things, amen? Because God created us as beings to speak things into existence, amen? By just holding your tongue and not expressing yourself or communicating with others, this becomes frustrating. And as a result, most individuals who remain at level two communication will resort back to level one. What'll happen is you'll stay there, you're quiet, then all of a sudden you just go back to level one and it just comes out. How many of us know people like that? Quiet for a while and then it just explodes and everything comes out. Stuff you did 20 years ago comes out. Amen? Amen. So level two, better than level one, but it's not where God intends us to dwell. Amen? Third level of communication is concentrated communication. Communication at this level is discipline, and words are chosen wisely with purpose and intent. We need to develop a filter for our words and become more deliberate with every word that we say. Our desire should be to use intentional and thoughtful speech that flows from a life of wisdom. Amen? Ephesians 4:29 tells us, when you talk, do not say harmful things, but say things that people need. Amen? Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. Amen. I want you to know today, Jesus spoke every word deliberately. Jesus never uttered one careless or thoughtless word. Amen. He thought about every word before he said it, and so should we. Amen? Let's go to a story real quick in John, the 8th chapter, 1st through the 11th verse. Amen? Many of you probably know this story. It's the story about when the woman was caught in adultery. Amen? But I think we can learn something from Jesus. Everyone there? First verse, it says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he went back to the temple, and all the people came to him. Amen. And he sat there and he taught them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they forced her to stand before the people. They said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught having sexual relations with a man who was not her husband. The law of Moses commands us that we stone her to death, and every woman who does this. What do you say we should do? They were saying this to try to trick Jesus so they could have some charge against him. And I just want to stop there. I believe many of us as preachers and being confronted with the Pharisees. Now, understand this. The Pharisees weren't some soft people or some heathenistic people. And many times I've seen the Pharisees kind of painted in a bad light. These were people who knew the law. These were people who prayed. These are people who were connected, as they thought, to God. And that they were doing everything according to God's scripture. Amen? So there was pressure on Jesus. And these are also the people of the Jewish law that could consider you or judge you guilty of breaking one of the Jewish laws. Amen? Amen. So Jesus takes time out and he stops to think. And the Bible says, but Jesus bent over and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they continued to ask Jesus their question, he raised up and said, anyone who here has never sinned can throw the first stone at her. Then Jesus bent over again and wrote on the ground. Those who heard Jesus began to leave one by one, first the older men and then the others. Jesus was left alone there with the woman standing before him. Jesus raised up again and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one judged you guilty? She answered, no one, sir. Then Jesus said, I do not judge you guilty. You may go now and do not sin again. I thought this was so powerful as they're bombarding Jesus with questions. Instead of just acting right away, he bends down, and as the pistol shows, he just starts to write in the ground. And I can just imagine all the people just continue to ask, Jesus, we asked you a question. What should be done? She was caught in adultery. They're holding her there, and he just continues to write. So I think the first thing we can learn from that, he was quiet, right? Functioning at level two right now, but he didn't stop there. He was, I could see him, and one theologian said, you know, the question is, what was Jesus writing? And one theologian said that Jesus at that time was writing the Ten Commandments one by one in the dirt. And as he began to write it, that's why each person, as he writes a commandment that they've broken, they start to walk away one by one. But it's that wisdom of God that we can have in those moments. And each and every day, and we're going to show you how a little bit later, that we can function at level three, where our speech is filtered and is guided by God. Amen? And those times where we have to give a word, we have to speak to someone, we want to speak life and not death, we can depend on the Holy Spirit of God to tell us what to say. Is that good? Yeah. Amen. So how do we function at this level three communication on a consistent basis? Because it sounds good, right? If we could all function there, I think our lives would be totally different. Amen. But how do we go about doing that? Let's look at that. Three keys to controlling your tongue, or three keys to consistently functioning at level three of communication. Amen. Amen. Number one, guard your heart. You may say, Brother Bill, what in the world does your heart have to do with your mouth? Good question. Let's go to Matthew 12, 33, 37. Let's hear from the mouth of Jesus. He says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, then the fruit it has is good. If a tree is bad, it bears bad fruit. You brought up snakes. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in the heart, what? Determines what you say. Let me say that again. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account for every, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either condemn you or they will equip you. That is powerful. Once again, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I was reading this online. I thought this was amazing. So this is in the physical. It says, according to Delta Dental, there is now evidence of two specific links of heart disease and a person's oral health. Recent studies have shown that a large percentage of people with heart disease also have gum disease in a moderate or in advanced stages. More specifically, your oral health can provide doctors with warning signs for a range of diseases and conditions, including heart disease. So just as a person with oral health, just as a person's oral health can serve as a gauge of the state of an individual's physical heart, likewise, a person's speech can serve as a barometer to the state of a person's spiritual heart. I thought it was so amazing that Delta Dental had this research done that shows that the state of your oral, your teeth, your gums and everything is directly linked to different heart diseases. Amen? And in the physical realm, it's the same way. The state of your heart is directly related to the state or the magnitude of your speech. As Jesus said, if your heart is bad, your speech is bad. If your heart is good, your speech is good. So what is the heart? Amen? What is the heart? We know that we are what? Three-part beings. Amen? The real part of us is what? The spirit. The spirit man. The breath of life that God breathed into Adam. That is the spirit man. Amen? We can go to the, can we put up the diagram here? I want to show you guys a diagram so we can get a good understanding here. So on the left side of the screen up there, it shows a diagram of man, and so we can have an understanding of what we're looking at. Our spirit man is the innermost part of us. That is the God-breathed breath of life. The Bible says God breathed the breath of life, and man became what? A living soul. The soul is your memory, your emotions, your will, your consciousness. Amen? Your soul and your spirit are intertwined. They can't be separated. The Bible says the only thing that could separate the two is the word of God. It said it goes in to the innermost parts of us, piercing, if it could, you know, soul and spirit. So that's how when you go to heaven or hell, the afterlife, you experience heaven or hell. Pastor talks about it all the time. Heaven and hell are real. How do you experience it? Your soul experiences everything. Your emotions, your will, your consciousness. Amen? And then you have the body, this shell, that inhabited and interacts with this earth. Well, the heart, if we could draw a small inner circle inside, very close to the spirit, inside the soul, the heart is where your will, your emotions, your conscience, your consciousness intersect. It is the deepest part of you. Amen? Strong's Concordance describes the heart as the central command center for emotional, intellectual, and moral activity. The heart is the core of your being. So what does Jesus mean when he says a heart is good or bad? The heart, which is a part of the soul, only receives from it from one or two places. It's either fed from the spirit or is fed from your flesh. Amen? And what happens many times is we're allowing our flesh to feed our heart or our mind. Amen? So we have to protect our heart. We have to protect our heart from everything that this world wants to offer it. Amen? How do we do that? Our heart receives through our five gates: our ear gate, our mouth gate, our soul gate. Our eye gate, our ear gate, our mouth, our feel, our touch, and our smell gate. So everything in this natural body that it receives, it goes into that heart. So that's why a pastor would instruct us, watch what we're listening to. Watch what we're watching, because it all affects our soul. It all affects our heart, our mind. And then that's what, as Jesus said, is regurgitated back out through our mouth. Amen. I think about I'm born in the 80s, 80 baby, so I still love hip hop. Amen. But I have to watch my intake of hip hop because of the messages that they're singing. I think of one song right now. There's a rapper out, Future, and he has this song, Mask Off. And the first time I heard it, I'm like, oh my gosh. The hook to the song just says Molly Percocet, Molly Percocet, over and over again. Molly is a form of ecstasy, a higher form of ecstasy. Percocet, of course, is a prescription drug. And we wonder why our nation and the world today is struggling so much with addiction, overdose, because we hear these songs over and over again, and then of course he's just repeating it, and we have our young children and our young adults, they're saying it over and over, and wonder why they have these cravings for these prescription drugs and all this other stuff. It's because they are speaking life to those things by singing those songs. Amen. The things that we watch on TV, you're allowing those into your soul, your heart, and wonder why you're regurgitating those things back out. I believe this is a word for someone today. Watch what you're listening to before you go to bed. If you're not listening to something that's feeding your spirit, you ever wonder why you wake up singing that song that you heard? Because when your soulish realm, your spirit, they never sleep. They are eternal. Those are the things, as I said before, will return back to the Father, or will spend eternity in hell when we pass on to the other side. They never sleep. So whatever you've birthed inside of your heart, whatever you birthed inside of your soul, those things are just going over in your mind over and over as you sleep. Amen? So that's why it's so important before you go to sleep, when you wake up in the morning, put something inside of your spirit so that your mouth will speak it, amen, as you wake up or before you go to bed. Amen? Amen. So guard your heart. Number two, renew your mind or heart. Mind and heart can be interchangeable. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." Psalms 119:11, David says, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Amen? Renewing your mind or your heart. So I talked about first is what goes in. Now, once again, we can't shut off everything. I know our friends in here, Darnell and the Bracys, they work in an environment where they can't just shut off all the negative talk and words that come towards them, right? They can't just shut it off. They work in a prison environment where you have inmates and all these different things. I was talking to them a while ago, and they just talked about some of the things that are said. And to be in that environment for 8, 10, 12 hours at a time, you can't shut that off. But what you can do is you can renew your mind and provide a buffer against it. What does it mean to renew that mind? is to take the word of God and the things of God and fill your soul and your heart up with them. Amen? Because the heart, once again, it's sort of like an innocent bystander. It only produces what you put into it. Amen? So it's either going to produce things of God or it's going to produce things of the world. But it's one of the two. It's going to produce what you put into it. So if you're not filling it, even if you're not listening to those things with an intention to hear them, subconsciously those things are still coming at you. Amen? The Bible says the heart is what? It's wicked. And who can know it? So if it's left to its own devices, it will be your demise. So you have to renew that mind. You have to fill it with word. You have to fill it with things of the Bible, things of the spiritual world. Amen? Even when you're bombarded with different thoughts that have come from the cares of this world, you have to shoot those things down. That's another way of renewing the mind. How do y'all do that? You start to speak God's word. Speak it out of your mouth. Give life to that word that is around you. You start to shoot down those thoughts. As the Bible said, you start to think on things that are good, that are lovely, that are true, that are holy, that are wholesome. Amen? Amen. So number two, we renew our heart and our mind. Number three, after we've done those, here's the biggest thing. Amen? So number one was what? We guard in our heart. So we're keeping our heart from being infiltrated from the cares or the things of this world. Number two is what? We renew our mind. Now we're filling it up with something so we can speak it out. But number three, the most important thing is we let the Holy Spirit guide our speech. And back to the example of Jesus with the woman who was caught in adultery, this is the letting the Holy Spirit give you what to say. Amen. How many of us believe in those times, and not it doesn't even have to be serious times. It can be getting up in the morning. Maybe you have a presentation at work, or maybe you're going to meet up with somebody and you're going to pray. God, how many of us believe that God can give us a wisdom-filled word to deliver to that person? Amen. Even when dealing with your children, your spouses, your loved ones, you can pray that God will give you the right words to say. Amen. Amen. James 3, 7 and 8. It says, all kind of animals, birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But listen to this. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. So it's telling you right now that your own strong will, your willpower, and your discipline is not going to get it done. And this was something I was, struggling with. You know, I would say, you know, God, I want to be better with my tongue. I want to do a better job of speaking life. And it would seem like I would get to a point and then fall off. Because why? I was trying to do it in my own strength, my own will. But James says right here that what? No man can tame the tongue. It can't be tamed. But there's a God in heaven. Through God's Holy Spirit, we can watch our tongues and we can tame our tongues and speak life and not death. Romans, the 8th chapter, 12, 14 says, so, my brothers and sisters, we must not be ruled by our sinful selves or live the way our sinful selves want. If you use your lives to do wrong things your sinful selves want, you will die spiritually. But if you use the Spirit's help to stop doing the wrong things that your body wants, you will have true life. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. So what does that mean? We go to the next diagram I have up there. What it means is that God, as I was hearing this, I said, God wants us, is his desire that we would live inside out and not outside in. What does that mean? To live outside in means that we allow the world. So once again, through our senses, what we see, what we feel, what we hear, what we smell, we allow that to rule our life. We pull that from the outside in. And then we react based on that. Amen? So if it's raining outside and we're having a bad day, our speech is bad. If someone's getting on our nerves, we react to that. But God intended us to live what? From the inside out. Amen? And it says this right there. To live inside out means to live by following the Spirit. The Spirit, as we saw in the first illustration, the innermost part of you, the God consciousness part of you, the part of you that communicates directly with God. if you're born again. Amen? Because once we, after Adam's fall, that the communication between God and man was broken in the spirit. But when we're born again, our spirits become alive, and we can now communicate once again with the Father. Amen? So we want to, when we become believers, we should be living from the inside out. So what does that mean? That means allowing the Holy Spirit to communicate with your spirit, and everything that he desires to do, then that's funneled in through your heart, and it what? Comes out through your mouth. Living from the inside out instead of the outside in. Don't allow this world to determine how you speak. Don't allow how a person acts to determine what you call them. Amen? Back to the example of how God and Jesus, we think about Jesus and when he changed Peter's name. And I think maybe even Paul's a better example. We know Paul on the road to Damascus, he's struck down by light. And we know the story of Paul. He was persecuting Christians. And he was doing all this damage against the name of Jesus Christ. But when originally his name was what? Saul. That name actually in the Greek actually means him of murder, him of deceit. But God changed his name to what? Paul. Amen. He gave him a new name because he was no longer going to speak death or speak to his destiny of his old self, Saul. Amen? And I believe many times that's what we can do. We can look at an individual and we can speak life into their existence. Amen? Amen. Also, our words express our worship to God. We heard it in praise and worship, such a powerful song, speaking, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. You're reiterating the point that you're blessed. You're reiterating who your blessings come from. That's why it's so important for you during praise and worship to get involved and lift up your voices and sing and speak those words that are coming across. Because what? You're speaking life over yourself. You're speaking life into the atmosphere. You're speaking life into your home. Amen? And that's why you can't just praise and worship and praise God on Sundays. You have to be doing that on a consistent basis in your home. Daily. Are you praying over your homes? Or are you allowing things just to come in because you haven't spoken against those? Amen? Tell you a story real quick. I remember when me and my wife first got married, we were living in an apartment. And at this time, I didn't really even truly understand the power of our words, but I just knew, you know, from learning, writing things down, making it clear, and speaking that out. And I had this home written down in detail. And those who know me, it's in detail. I have everything I wanted in our home. Amen. And we were living in an apartment at the time, and every morning I would get up and I would speak that thing. Speak it. So me and my wife, after living in an apartment when we first got married, we then bought a home in Farrell, and we lived in that house for a couple years. And then a couple years later, we bought the current home that we're in Hermitage. And I remember as we were moving in, I was moving stuff, and my wife kind of tapped me on the shoulder. She said, Bill, do you remember? Now, at this time, I had stopped. I did this profession of faith and was speaking on this house for about 2 years' time, and I had stopped and really kind of forgot about it. And as we were moving in, I remember my wife said to me, Bill, do you remember that confession that you used to do every day? She was like, this house is exactly what you said. In detail. And it was so powerful because here's the thing. I had forgot all about it. I was no longer doing it, but I had spoken for about 2 years and we had moved into it. And I still have that. And I say that to say, even those words that you've spoken out there, that you've forgotten about, and here's the amazing thing, either good or bad. That's the scary thing about it. Good or bad. Those things that you have spoken, those words, as Jesus said, those idle words, they are out there and they're creating what? Life or death. Amen? So we have to be careful about what we're speaking and let the Holy Spirit guard our mouths and our tongue. Amen? To reiterate this point in closing, I want to do a compare and contrast of two stories in the Bible which speak to how they spoke, either speaking life and death, speaking truth or lies. Amen? And depending on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. The first story is in Acts, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 10th verse. It's a story of two individuals in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. I'm sure many of us know this story. Amen. It says, Acts, the 5th chapter, it says, but there was a certain man named Ananias who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount with his wife's consent, and he kept the rest. Amen. Let me stop there. I want to kind of set up the story where we're at. So, of course, we're in the book of Acts. And what has happened? Jesus has risen from the dead. He's ascended to the Father. And the people of Acts, this is the essence of the church, what Jesus has desired. Amen. Everyone is living on one accord. All the believers are together. They're living on one accord. You're working a job, and everything you're getting from that job, you're bringing it back for the common good of the people. Amen? Doctors are a part of the group. Lawyers are part of it. Everyone is working for the common good. We have wealthy people. We have poor people. The wealthy people are taking their money, and they're giving it to the poor, and everyone's sharing with one another. It's just a glorious time in the Lord. Amen? So what happened was Ananias and Sapphira, pretty wealthy, they have some lots of land. And they sell this land off, and they receive money back from their land, and they're going to give it to the apostles to treat for the common good of all the people. So it says, then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wish. And after selling it, the money was also yours to sell or not to sell. How could you do something like this? You weren't lying to us, but you were lying to God or the Holy Spirit. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him away to be buried. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, was this the price that you and your husband received for your land? Jesus said, yes, she replied. That was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young man who has buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. Amen. Sapphira had the opportunity to tell the truth. And it says in here that they, not only were they lying to the apostles and the people, they lied to what? The Holy Spirit. Back to my example, they let what? They let greed and the things of this world influence their heart to conspire against the Holy Spirit and what? Speak lies and damnation to their soul out of their mouth. Amen? And as we know, we have a merciful God. And many times, if we were punished like this for every bad thing we said, there would be no one in this auditorium this morning. Amen? But it's the same way when we speak those lies, negative consequences will follow. But we can depend on the Holy Spirit of God to birth truth inside of us so that every time we're faced with those situations, what? We can speak that truth and life can come out. So let's look at a counterexample to how God will want us to respond. We'll go to 2 Samuel and the story of David. And I'm not going to read a lot of that. We all know the story of David. Pastor Locke has preached on David many times, but we know the horrible sin that David fell into, right? With Bathsheba, when he saw her bathing, he desired her, and he went down, he had sexual relations with her, she became pregnant, amen, and he grabbed her husband off the battlefield, tried to get him there to have sexual relations with her so that they could believe that the baby was his. Honorable man, he would not do it, and so he ended up, what, having her husband killed. Committed great sin, amen? So the prophet Nathan comes to David and confronts him just as the apostle Peter confronted Ananias and Sapphira. But let's look at David's response in comparison to how they responded. 2 Samuel 12, 13, 14. Nathan has just talked to David and confronted him about his sin, and this was David's response. He says, then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you and you won't die for your sin. I think we can learn something from David in his response to his sin and his speaking. His speaking was truthful and it was guided by what? The Holy Spirit. He was heartfelt for his sin, and it was shown by his words that came out. Three simple words, yes, or a few simple words, yes, I have sinned against God. Amen? And then we go to Psalms 51. This is so powerful because we're going to see David's heart and why the Bible would say David was a man after God's own heart. And many times, I've heard it preached in thinking that David was, and when it says David was a man after God's own heart, it's saying that David was a man like God. But what I believe, and I've heard it taught, is that it's saying that David was, when it says David was a man after God's own heart, it meant that David was after God's heart, chasing after, always before God, desiring what? God, give me something. I need you to sustain me. I need you to give me the words to speak. And in closing, listen to how powerful this is. It says, this is David after he's been confronted by Nathan. He lost his first son, the son that he had with Bathsheba, and he's in a place of repentance. Listen to the words, the speech that is coming out of David's mouth. He says, God, be merciful to me because you are loving, because you are always ready to be merciful. Wipe out all my wrongs, wash away all my guilt, and make me clean again. I know about my wrongs, and I cannot forget my sin. You are the only one I have sinned against. I have done what you said was wrong. You are right when you speak and fair when you judge. I was brought into this world in sin, and in sin my mother gave birth to me. You want me to be completely truthful, so teach me wisdom. Take away my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear sounds of joy and gladness, and let the bones you crushed be happy again. Turn your face from my sin and wipe out all my guilt. Verse 10, so powerful. He says what? Create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. The New Living Translation says, create in me a new and clean heart, O God, and fill me with clean thoughts and right desires. Do not send me away from you or take your Holy Spirit away from me. So what is David saying? Back to point number three. We have to let the Holy Spirit guard our speech, or guide, excuse me, our speech. Just as David said, I'm nothing without you, God. My speech, I lie, I cheat. All these things are coming out of my mouth because my heart is wrong. But I need you, Lord, to judge my heart and make my heart pure and clean again. Amen? Amen. So in closing, can we stand on our feet? It is my desire that hopefully today that you've received something from this word that will minister to your spirit and teach you about the importance of our speech, about life and death is in the power of your tongue, about how we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide our speech, how we need to guard our hearts and to keep the things of this world from infiltrating our heart and changing or speaking damnation from our souls and our mouths. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to take this opportunity first for anyone who is in the building today that may not know the Lord. Amen? With no eyes looking, I'm asking that you would just slip your hand up. Because here's the thing. You can't control your tongue, as James said, without the help of the Holy Spirit. But you can't have access to the Holy Spirit if you're not born again, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I want to take this opportunity, if there's anyone here, this morning, who desires to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just slip up your hand and I want to give you that opportunity this morning to know this God, the Holy Spirit who will guide your speech. Amen? Also, I want to give the opportunity to anyone out there who felt convicted by this sermon this morning, or even just feel I would like to go to a higher height as I did in my speech. You're tired of functioning even at level one where you're just speaking any and everything. You're using this mouth that is a weapon just carelessly. Sometimes you say good things. Sometimes you say bad things. You desire to be more in control of your tongue. I'm asking that you would just come out to the altar today and let us pray with you and pray with me that God will strengthen you. Or number two, maybe you're at level two communication where you just, you're quiet before God, but you're not saying anything that really is changing people's lives or is changing your life. You're just going from day to day in a quiet place because you know you shouldn't be speaking, you know, damaging things, but you're not really sure of how to speak life. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Amen. Last but not least, even if you're at level three and you feel like your words are concentrated, I'm going to ask that you will come to the altar and that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will guide your speech. Because this is where I want to be. I want to be able to, every time I speak to someone, every time, whether it's in church or out of church, well, I'm not just talking about a religious thing. I'm talking about something that's real. Speaking out of my mouth the words of God, but in a way that doesn't even seem spiritual. You can speak life, but just saying hello to someone. Someone could be hurting at your job, and you can just walk up to them and lay your hands on them and say, how you doing? I love you. Or, you know, just that's speaking life. It doesn't have to be some power pack or some deep thought that you're speaking to someone. Amen? So I just want to give you the opportunity to come out and stand before God and just let him work with your heart. Be as David said, create in me a new heart, God, and a new spirit, and a right spirit before you, Lord God, so that I may worship you. David said, I can't even worship you because my heart is wrong. The things that come out of my mouth are things that come from a heart that is wrong. But I want to put my heart before you, God, and just ask you to work on my heart so that I can speak the things of God, so I can speak life and not death, so that you, Holy Spirit, can be in control of my speech. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm asking that the altar workers will come forth.
I surrender all to you. Everything away that doesn't bring you glory, Lord, yeah. I give myself.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. I want to pray a corporate prayer over those who are still at the altar and any other ones, Lord, that we will continue. And if you're not there, that today will mark a new start for you in your speech. Amen. As I said before, no matter what level you're at, God does not judge. He does not condemn. He just ushers us in. And he wants us to go to higher heights and deeper depths in him. So I just pray this morning in the name of Jesus that all of us, Lord God, will get to a point where we are functioning at level 3 communication, Lord God, where our words, our speech, our tongue, Lord God, is speaking life, intentional, thoughtful, wisdom-filled words that are guided by your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We repent, Heavenly Father God, for every negative thing that we've said in our past, Lord God, for every idle word, Lord God, that's proceeded out of our mouths. We are repentful, Lord God, and we thank you for a new start, Lord God. We declare that on today, July 23rd, Lord God, we have a new start with our mouths in the name of Jesus. We will speak life and not death. Hallelujah, starting today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that many of us, Lord God, who are in situations or we desire things, we will start to confess those things with our mouths, Lord God. For you said, Lord God, if we confess it with our mouths and we believe it in our hearts, we can have what we say in the name of Jesus. There's many of us out here that desire things, and I pray that we'll begin to speak it as the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us and instruct us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we adore you, Heavenly Father God. And at this time, if you would just open your eyes, I want to speak the blessing over you, Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus. And it's so powerful, and this is why a pastor speaks this blessing every week. It's because he's speaking life once again over you. So that's why he wants your eyes open, hands up, ready to receive the blessing. Amen? I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you coming and going. I bless your homes. I bless your children. I bless your loved ones in the name of Jesus. I bless your jobs in the name of Jesus. I bless your finances. Hallelujah. I bless your mouths that you will speak life and not death, that you will speak encouraging words in the name of Jesus. I pray and I speak that you are the head and not the tail, that you are winners and not losers, that you are strong and not weak, that you are successful and not a failure. You are men and women of valor, of integrity, of wisdom, of knowledge, of favor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you'll begin on today speaking over your households, speaking over your family, and speaking life and not death to your loved ones and those around you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.